Welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, where we believe that world transformation begins with gospel transformation, and gospel transformation begins with discovering the truth about who God is and who you are. And it starts right now.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Community Conversations podcast. My name is Brian. I'm here with Noah Chant.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good. Good. Enjoying the rain.
Good to have you back. Yeah, enjoying the rain.
Yeah, it's good to be back. It's good to be back. I always love being a guest on this podcast.
I'm sure it feels just like Christmas.
It does. To you. It does. We've discussed this on the podcast.
We have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very Christmas day.
Sure.
Good day for Christmas music. And if I was a school teacher, I'd say class is canceled today. Like if I was a college professor, I'd be like, no class. Stay home and watch Christmas movies.
That's so funny.
And you know what it is too? It's a little chillier today.
It is a little chillier.
It's a little cold out. I went out to check on my on some stuff and I was like, oh, I'm cold. I had shorts on. I was like, this ain't gonna work.
Yeah. Yeah. I do. I am glad we've not jumped to like 90 degrees.
Yeah, I know, and it felt like we were about to.
I know.
I feel like we were right there, and this rain kind of
wouldn't
bother me if we like just had a rain day to keep fighting this every week or so.
Yeah.
Stay in the 80s.
Yep. Yeah.
Because at night right now, it's perfect.
Listen, last night, I sat out.
Me too.
We sat out, and we had a cigar, and it was just, I could have been there all night.
Yeah, I sat out on the patio, just hanging out, had a cup of coffee, letting Mumford run around. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Okay, well, last week we spent time talking about prayer, the importance of prayer, and developing. I like the way you say it. I don't know if you said it on the podcast, but I think maybe you did on Sunday, last Sunday, the difference between having a prayer life and having a life of prayer.
Right.
And the difference. And I think that's a really important distinction to make.
Yeah.
I still find myself using the term prayer life.
Yeah. Me too.
And I don't mean it.
I know.
But it still happens. And so
well, it's like common nomenclature.
It is.
You know. It becomes a classic way of, but too, like oftentimes if we think about prayer, for most of us, like our things fit into a prayer life.
Yeah.
Like a segmented part of my, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think about like, well, I've got a 20-minute car ride, let me just pray, or
right.
You know, I'm in this elevator for six floors. Let me pray. Or, you know what I mean? Like anything, I'm in line at the coffee shop. Let me pray. And that's kind of the transition of, I think, a prayer life into a life of prayer.
Right.
Where you look for avenues to just be with him for a moment.
Yeah. And that can happen at any time throughout the day. And because I do think I think you're right that when I think of like having a prayer life, I think, well, I get up and I pray for a few minutes in the morning. And then I've done the prayer thing for the day.
Yeah, check mark. I'm done. I've done it all. I found my... And I think, too, that relates to... we never have any internal time anymore. Like, you know, with cell phones and the way things are, like, you don't wait in line and just wait in line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't wait for a TV show. You know what I mean? You don't wait for anything. You don't even really wait for food much. Like, if you go to Chick-fil-A, you get your food in half a second.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think too, because there's no time to have an internal thought, we never even think internally to pray.
Yeah.
You know, like when I was a kid, like we were joking about this the other day. You know, we used to go on a ton of car rides all the time, whether it was to Canada or dad was doing something for ministry, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to sit in the back seat before there was like, you know, cell phones and stuff. And I played a game where I would try to only find words with five syllables so I could count them out perfectly on my fingers.
Yeah.
And I would just do that for like a couple hours.
Oh my gosh.
You know, just like any word I could find, you know, like kingdom. Like, no, that won't work. Yeah. I gotta keep, and I would just do it when I would finally find one, it felt so good to like perfectly hit all five of my fingers.
Yeah.
And so like, but like that, the internal person is pretty much gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so why would you think about praying?
Right. Yeah. We've kind of been trained to have this this need for, I guess, I don't know if it's to be entertained, but it's to be stimulated.
Yeah.
It's this need that we've kind of been trained to demand instant gratification for that.
Right. Well, I talked about this when we did our series on the spirit of the disciplines, but the idea that, like, and this is probably shocking, but boredom is a good thing.
I've been telling Nora that all the time. We have that conversation all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, boredom is a great thing to have.
Yeah.
It enacts creativity. It brings you into a place of internal thinking and having internal conversations. It teaches you diligence and patience. Like, it's boredom is a great thing for children.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to fight this, and I say we're not going to do it, but you never say never. But we have, you know, me and Bailey have had the conversations about, like, not letting Benjamin have anything, like, in the car.
Sure.
Like a TV or an iPad or anything. Mm-hmm. Just to, like, even teach him a moment of, like, just look out the window.
Yeah.
And just think.
Yeah.
Just spend 5 minutes thinking.
Yep.
You know, we're just going to the church, like, or we're just going to the store. Just think for a couple minutes, you know, because boredom is a good thing in us.
Yeah. 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 We'll do an iPad on a road trip.
Sure.
We'll tie it up between the seats so that it kind of hangs in the middle.
Yeah.
And so they've got something to watch.
But of course.
If it's not like a long road trip, you don't need a phone. You don't need an iPad.
No.
Grab a Beanie Baby if you need something.
Yeah. Grab a toy. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, create with it. But yeah, I'm with you. Even with myself, I've been trying. And I say trying because I don't want people to think I just do stuff. Yeah. And it naturally comes to me.
Right.
But I've been trying to, like, if I'm waiting in line for a coffee, if I'm waiting, you know, at the dentist or at a doctor's office, you know, waiting for, you know, Benjamin's appointments and different things. Like, I've tried to just put my phone away.
Yeah.
And just be, there's normally a TV on, something's on, daytime TV or, you know, Live with Ryan and Kelly's on, something, you know. And so there is something there, but it's about disengaging from needing the type of stimulation that I desire and moving into a little bit more of boredom. And then you go, actually, you know what? I'm going to pray.
Yeah.
That's when it happens.
Right.
You know what I mean? You go, you know what? This would be a great moment to just internally.
Right.
And I even find people have a hard time having internal conversations or saying things internally because they never do it anymore.
Sure.
Like, a lot of people don't have a lot of conversations in their heads, which sounds crazy, but we used to do it.
Yeah.
I used to talk to myself all the time in my own head.
Yep.
But with social media and stuff, you die to all that. Mm-hmm. And so even in an internal life of prayer can be difficult if you don't flex that muscle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I'll use that to kind of go in another direction. Because you also, last Sunday, when you spoke on prayer, you kind of opened it up just speaking a little bit about vision.
Yeah.
Kind of casting like a corporate vision.
Yeah.
And you got into sort of the role that prayer can play in that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about vision for a bit.
Yeah. Well, this first, like, teaching set we're doing is about the external vision first. And so if someone were to peek in on our family, what would they say about us? Or if somebody was in your circle of influence that didn't go to Beloved, what would they say about you?
Right.
And, you know, we talked about four things that, for me, and hopefully for everyone, people would say that we are a company of prayer, house of worship. I have the other two. They've just left
Equipped
my brain.
Sons.
Equipped Sons and Foundationally Family. Thank you.
Yeah.
Equipped Sons and Foundationally Family. But I started, with the idea of that at the end of the day, oftentimes, if we don't maintain at the center of our brains the vision corporately of what we're doing when we gather and who we are as a house will become, you know what I mean? Like, apathetic. We'll move into the motions of just doing, and we forget the, oh, right, we're doing this thing.
Right.
We're trying to become this. We're trying to change the city into this. And if we don't constantly maintain that idea, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's why, you know, most people, I think when they do well working out, they oftentimes in the morning or in the evening, like after they shower or something, they look at themselves in the mirror and they have a vision of who they currently are. And in their brain, they have a vision of who they want to be.
Yeah.
And mostly every day they look in the mirror and they go, I hate this person, probably. And they go, I want to change that. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so it's the same idea of realizing that what we're doing matters, and there's a mission and a goal behind it. Mm-hmm. And there's individual goals and there's corporate goals. One of the things we talked about, and I said Sunday, was like, don't be mistaken. You know, as far as me as your leader, us as a staff, like this is, we have ideas for you. We have a vision for you. We have plans for you. Mm-hmm. This was not designed, like B-Love was not designed just for aesthetics or because we love our model or because of any of that. But we do it because we're trying to get a people group to look like Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's this mission that we're trying to build around to move that way,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's what people oftentimes like, why am I here again?
Right.
People can kind of get caught into,
yeah.
Most people leave churches because they lose what actually drew them in the first place.
Yeah. I was actually just having a conversation with somebody recently about this, about like what churches have become predominantly, especially in here in the Bible Belt. A lot of church feels like kind of a social club type thing.
Yeah.
And I think I wonder if you, this would be really interesting, like research to do, but if you were to conduct a survey and you were to ask every single person who goes to a church, you know, or who regularly attends a church, you know, here in the South, like, why do you go to church?
Right.
Like, what is it that you're actually looking for in your life as a result of being a part of this thing that you do? And
right.
I would be curious to know how many people have a legitimate answer to that question.
Right. I agree. You know? Yeah. And I think like there's a place where I know I need to go somewhere.
Right.
So I'll choose this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like there really has to be a great understanding and revelation of the mission.
Yeah.
You know, and that even goes for leaders. I even find like from a leadership perspective, most people will often let their mission die because they're obsessed with their model.
Sure.
And sometimes we have to put our model aside to maintain on our mission.
Mm-hmm.
And if our model is not working and our mission is, then we have to lean into our mission. You know what I mean? Like we can't lean into, well, this is just how we're going to do it.
Right.
It has to follow what we're trying to become.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like even B-Love's that way. Like we've changed a little thing here and there, because at the end of the day, like we're trying to become like Jesus. And so we're constantly building structures around how do we get people to practice that and be engaged and fall in love with that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like even like the standing for the scripture, it's about bringing reverence back to the word.
Mm-hmm.
It's about bringing great things out of religion and legalism back in. And these are all practices to remain in oneness with Christ. And we have to maintain our understanding of right. This is who we're designed to be. This is who we're going to be. This is how people are going to see us. And it'd be awful for, I can't think of anything worse than for someone to go like, oh, why do you go to B-Love? And they go, well, the kids' church is good.
Right. Yes.
Like that would,
yeah.
Or honestly, like the preaching's good. Like
I
still don't really want that. I mean, I hope, you know, all that plays a role, hopefully in growing you. But I hope, you know what I mean? I hope that that's none of the reasons why you're with us.
Right.
You know what I mean?
What you hope is that the answer to that question would be, because I found a place where I'm experiencing deep heart transformation.
Right.
I found a place where I am actively being equipped to become like Jesus and to live the life that I'm called to live.
Right. And I found a people group who know Jesus because they look like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to look like Jesus too.
Right. I found a group of people and they have something special.
Right.
And I want what they have.
Yeah. I'm dealing with anxiety, depression, some fear, mm-hmm. you know, my kids, my marriage is this, and all these people here don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? All these people here are, there's a line, and I know it's not scripture and that's fine, but there's a line in The Chosen. I love where Mary says that, you know, before I met him, I was one way.
Yeah.
And after I met him, I was another way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I that's kind of the goal. And the hope is that people would see a city on a hill.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's the idea of a city set upon a hill. There's a light, you know what I mean, that you wouldn't put under a basket.
Right.
It's this idea of in scripture that you've been traveling all day, night's coming, and you need a place to finally rest your head.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a city.
Yeah.
And the night has come, but it's lit up and you know it's there, and you go in and you find a place to rest yourself.
Yeah.
And that's how Jesus describes believers, you know what I mean, in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, we have to be that, but we have to realize that that takes the deep work of transformation.
Yeah.
It's more than attendance.
It doesn't happen passively.
It doesn't.
Individually or corporately.
No, no. And we can get caught up in beloved identity to believe that now, because I am righteous and holy, I don't have to do anything.
Right.
And it's not works-based, and you're still good to go as far as getting into heaven and being righteous. But if you want the full package of what that is, you have to go fix all the pieces of you that are in unbelief in that.
Right.
And that takes vision.
Yeah.
It takes vision.
Yep.
To constantly maintain on pace with who I'm designed to be and who my church and my kingdom family is designed to be.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. There's a verse you quoted on Sunday. I don't remember the reference. But where there is no prophetic vision.
Yes, Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, I think it's 19. And we, you know, we grew up in the King James era, so we often read, like, where there is no vision, the people perish.
Right.
You know, but the actual, like, a better translation of that would be, where there is no prophetic vision, people cast off restraint.
Yeah.
And the idea is it's not just vision, but it's actually, like, it's actually the word of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Where the word of the Lord is not, people cast off restraint.
Yeah.
And there's a reference or the, like, kind of the footnotes of that scripture when it says cast off restraint. If you look up that part, it leads you back to Exodus, I believe, 20.
Okay.
And in Exodus 20, it talks about, you know, Moses goes up on the mountain. And when he goes up, the people basically just start worshiping a golden calf idol.
Yeah.
Like, they just... They're like, you know what? Bring all the jewelry. We'll make this big golden calf. We'll wear it out and we'll do our thing.
Yep.
And it's this idea that where God is not present, we will most oftenly fall to the lowest common denominator of ourselves.
Sure.
Where there is no vision by the Lord, we will become the lowest standard version of ourselves, which will lead to the greatest sin of all. We've talked about a bunch, idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
Either worship of things or worship of self.
Right.
Most people often don't maintain in a church or in relationship with people in a church because of idolatry, because they worship sure. themselves, and so their preferences matter over their placement.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so if they're, and part of that is if leadership is not presenting the vision of who we're designed to be, you can forget it, and that's sometimes not your fault.
Right.
But once vision is presented, it is your responsibility to grab a hold of that
mm-hmm.
and mold yourself around it with your family, your kingdom family around you.
Mm-hmm.
And so this idea that where there is no prophetic vision, where the Lord is not leading a group of people, they will lead themselves into the lowest form of themselves, which is oftentimes self-worship, which is where, you know, not, I don't mean to be negative, but where most, a lot of churches and just believers are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and you said it a minute ago that there's a lot about church culture that has become preference-based.
Yeah.
And people, I think you mentioned this when you preached, but unfortunately people, for the most part, I think, I don't mean to make an overgeneralization, but it seems that people don't choose the church that they attend through prayer. They choose the church to attend based on what is most convenient and what suits their preferences.
Right.
And that's the gateway to consumer Christianity.
Yeah.
Because now everything is still about me.
Right.
The church I attend is about me.
Yeah. It's all idolatry.
Yeah.
You can tell, like, the first great sign of idolatry, there's two great statements is, well, that just is not very convicting to me.
Mm.
Idolatry.
Okay.
Like, if the Bible says this, I just don't really feel convicted. With sure. that. Okay, great. That means you worship yeah. yourself. Good luck.
Yeah.
You know, or, for me, my truth is
yeah.
another, you know, and we've talked about that.
Yeah.
Another form of idolatry, but all this plays into that. It's all preference-based.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because what I was talking about was giving honor to people who said, like, I don't know if this is where I want to be. I need to go pray about it.
Right.
And then through prayer said, you know mm-hmm. what? This is the family I'm supposed to be a part of.
Yeah.
That's great. And for me, you know, like, and this is what I said Sunday, like, if someone were to come to me and say, like, hey, like, I feel like I'm leaving Beloved. Mm-hmm. And if the next words out of their mouth are not, I've been praying.
Right.
Then I'm like, I don't even pay attention. My brain just goes another place and I'm waiting for you to get done talking so I can leave.
Yeah.
Because I just have no respect for that. Yeah. I have no respect for you.
Yeah.
I have no respect for how you're viewing this. Mm-hmm. I have no respect at all.
Yeah.
The Christian life is built upon prayer.
Yeah.
And if you have not prayed where you're supposed to be placed and you're just looking for what suits you best, mm-hmm. then you're choosing yourself over the Holy Spirit. It's that simple.
Yeah.
There's nothing else that can be said about it.
Yeah.
And so, like, we need vision because people have prayed and have committed to what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, those are the people you want to say, okay, then here's who we're designed to be. Mm-hmm. Here's who we're going to be, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, all that plays a role into this. And unfortunately, sometimes that means a loss of your preferences.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, sometimes you have to sacrifice some of the preferences you have. Mm-hmm. For, you know what I mean? Because, like, and you know, the thing for me is, like, I have things I think I would rather do in church.
Sure.
But I know it's not who we're designed to be.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I have ways of church that I would maybe like different. Mm-hmm. But I feel like what we're doing is exactly what the Lord has asked us to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I'm not going to change because of my preferences. And the crazy part is I have the authority to change it.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, and I'm still not going to use that to change what I feel like Yahweh's designed us for.
Right.
You know, and that's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to die to the things you enjoy.
Yeah. And that is, I think, one of the most, dying to your preferences is, I think, one of the most key elements of growing up and maturing. So think about a young kid. Kids, think about even a Nora.
Right.
She's six. She's crazy smart. But she still doesn't really have the capacity to cast vision for the future.
Yeah.
In an honest assessment of who she wants to become.
Right.
And oftentimes people grow up, but they don't develop that skill or that ability to cast vision into the future and to determine, this is who I want to become. And then, you know, one of the most, I would say, hallmark qualities of an immature person is that they're unwilling to say no to a desire or a preference right now for the sake of building the future they want to build, for the right. sake of becoming who they want to become.
Yes.
And I can't remember if we've talked about that here.
I know, me neither. I'm trying to think, but.
But, you know, even, like, my vision has been for as long as I've been married, there's a certain type of husband I want to be to Katie. And so I have to say no to everything else that would hinder that.
Right.
If that's going to come to pass.
Right.
If I'm actually going to become the type of husband I want to be to Katie.
Exactly.
I have to identify what would prevent that. And I have to be willing to say no, no matter what that is, no matter how badly I want, whatever right. it is, you know?
Right. Well, it even goes back to the idea of, like, and I'm not saying I'm not, like, you could even, like, people have had arguments around the idea of, like, is nudity in movies and television bad? And that's not the question. The question is, does that honor my spouse?
Right.
You know what I mean? And so some things you may would say, well, I don't think that's bad. That's fine for you. But the reality is, for the husband I want to be,
right,
I'm not going to do these things.
Yeah.
For the father I want to be, I'm not going to do these things or be like this or the person or the man I you know mm-hmm. what I mean? I want to be. Like, I am wildly aware at what spending my morning in the presence does for me as a person. And so even sometimes if it's not out of the deepness of love mm-hmm. and it's more feels like works, like
yeah.
I know the person I am when I'm in there versus when I'm not.
Right.
I'm just going to choose to do that anyway.
Yeah.
In the days I don't even feel it. But it's all part of, you're right, this vision for myself.
Right. Yeah. I don't like to be up early in the mornings.
No.
But it's one of those things that I like, it's not my preference, but. My yeah. preference doesn't really get to dictate because I know, and you've said this too, that I know that if I'm not up early enough and I'm up around like 6:30
yeah.
and I'm trying to get towards 6.
Yeah.
6:30 is an improvement. So I'm going to celebrate yeah. that at least. Ooh. But it's not my preference, but I can't let my preferences dictate always how my day goes.
Right.
Because it'll start off wrong.
Yeah, it will move into. And we were listening to a podcast recently. And it's funny because somebody brought this up. And I thought it's so true. Like, there's something about like an hour to 2 hours alone.
Yeah.
With the Lord that kind of sets you into a place of going and just being able to be who you're designed to be. And there's something about that.
Yeah.
That time that's just not worth my preferences losing.
Right.
And it doesn't mean I don't always win that battle either.
Right.
You know, I'm not batting 1,000.
Right.
You know, but I'm doing everything I can to fight my preferences to say, no one will know if I just sleep in. Right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. no one's around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can still get all my stuff done, just work later.
Yep.
You know, and so it's hard. And that's the thing about vision and church is we oftentimes do not see ourselves yoked to a church and a family. And when we don't, I can leave at the slightest inconvenience of my existence.
Right.
But when we see ourselves attached to something and saying, this is where the Lord has placed me, I'm not moving, then none of that matters because we're all doing it together anyway.
Sure. Yeah.
And we're together anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's the idea about the vision is that, you know, and we're going to talk about it last week, but like we are foundationally family.
Mm-hmm.
And so like we're together.
Yeah.
No matter what happens.
Yep.
We're just going to do this thing.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Let's take a quick break and then we'll hop in. I have a few more thoughts on that.
Great.
Are you in the market for top-notch packaging solutions? Look no further. Introducing Associated Packaging, your trusted partner in packaging excellence. We specialize in providing high-quality packaging supplies and cutting-edge packaging automation. Our team is dedicated to ensuring your production runs smoothly with our factory-trained service technicians, just-in-time inventory management, and turnkey packaging solutions. Say goodbye to costly downtime. With Associated Packaging, you'll maximize uptime and reduce downtime, boosting your efficiency and profitability. Don't compromise on packaging quality and efficiency. Choose API for all your packaging needs. Call us today at 706-459-9996. Ask for Chad Balistrieri or visit our website at www.associatedpackaging.com. Associated Packaging, where packaging excellence meets innovation.
You know what I was thinking? You know, we were talking about preferences, and I do find that, you know, I said that it's not my preference right now to be up early in the morning because right. I like to sleep.
You do.
But, which is odd. But part of the vision I have for who I want to become, and I can already feel the shift taking place slowly, is that I will become a person who prefers to be up in the morning. And that way,
yeah.
Right? And that's part of the vision for who I want to be. I don't want the rest of my life to be me hating getting up in the morning.
Right.
But I trust that if I keep this up and like prayer, I enjoy prayer, but there are some mornings where it feels more like a chore.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's everyone.
And that's everyone.
Like, my God.
Yeah.
Prayer's not easy.
No. But my hope is that over time this becomes not something I'm like battling against my preferences, but that this is the preference.
That is brilliant.
You know?
Yeah, that is.
And I think that happens over time through discipline too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it's almost like we renew our mind.
It's so weird.
It's almost like our mind goes through this renewal process as we make our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I agree. I think there's a thing where, and I think that is the difference of, that is the difference of who I see myself as versus possibly who the Spirit sees me as.
Yeah.
And the Spirit can say, you are a morning person.
Right. You love prayer. You were designed for this.
Yeah.
You just don't know it yet.
You just have no clue who you are. Right. And that's okay. You know what I mean? The world's told you who you are.
Right.
You know? And so I think that's brilliant is that the goal should hopefully be to change our preference, not fight our preferences forever.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that goes with anything, I think, in church or the personal life of spiritual formation.
Mm-hmm.
Like formation is forming myself.
Yeah.
So I must be unformed or formed by something that's not the Spirit.
Right.
You know, so how many of my preferences are based off of old formation or formation by other things?
Yeah. Yep.
And that is, yeah, you're right. Because I think, like, and I know we keep using this as the analogy, but there, you can't tell me, because Bailey loves to sleep in and she's not a morning person. And I don't think all the declarations in the world are going to change that. No, I'm just kidding. No, but love you. But there's nothing better than the quiet darkness of morning.
Yeah.
And your house has no noise.
Yep.
And you're with the Lord. And you're thinking, how could this not be my preference?
Yeah.
How could this not be what I desire?
Mm-hmm.
And I think everything, even in church, like I think B-Love has this moment to, if you're not used to maybe what we're doing, this thing of stretching you and it's like uncomfortable. But I think if you let the Spirit do what the Spirit does, you go like, how could I not want this?
Right.
How could this not be it for me?
Yeah.
To be discipled, to be formed, to be with family, to be in community, to understand that, you know, we worship and we minister to the Lord above ourselves. Like all these things, like how could I not want these things in my life?
Mm-hmm.
And it moves past your preferences of like good kids church, maybe quick worship, quick this, fast that, you know, Easter plays and rabbits, and which are not bad things.
Yeah.
Not in the least bit. But, you know, there's this moment of like, oh, like I'm dying to the preferences I thought I had.
Mm-hmm.
And my preference is actually just the Lord.
Yeah.
And so he's designing me.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it leads back even to that scripture of he will give you the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and sometimes what he actually, and most of the time what he changes is your desires.
He changes the desire.
Yeah. He changes the things that you think matter to you the most in the world. And they're not those things.
Yeah. 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 Boy, that's good.
I try.
Yeah.
I'm shocked you're not a morning person. You give off morning person vibes.
Since for as long as I can remember, back to like my earliest memories, I just preferred being up later. Like going to bed didn't interest me. Going to sleep didn't interest me.
Yeah. Yeah. You may just suffered from FOMO. You had a lot of siblings in the house, baby. Everyone else was having fun. You had to go to bed.
They were old though.
That's true.
My oldest siblings are like, they're like 12 years old.
If you're anything like your daughter, it's FOMO. Nora would rather peel her fingernails off than know that we're all about to hang out and watch a movie and she has to go to bed. And Benjamin's already that way.
Yeah.
I'm trying to put Benjamin to sleep and he's like, what?
Yeah.
Something going on that I'm unaware of. I'm like, no, we're all going to bed. Don't worry about it. Just fall asleep.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's shocking to me.
Yeah.
Seem like a morning guy.
Yeah. It's just how it's been. And I do think it hasn't, while it's always been that way, it hasn't helped like with having kids.
It doesn't.
Because you get to that age where like, we're at that point now where we've got multiple kids. It's like they get to bed. And now it's like, well, we want to hang out.
Right. You want your time.
We want our time. We want to hang out. We want to watch a movie. We want to do grown up stuff.
I want to do whatever I want to do. It's true. It's hard because you want like at least a couple hours.
Yeah.
To just be,
mm-hmm.
you know, the same thing's happened kind of with us as far as like his schedule, you know, for a while you're like up and doing things. And so like, you're just sleeping where you can sleep.
Right.
Sometimes that's from like 7 a.m. to 10.
Sure.
You know, or 6 to when, you know what I mean? Whenever.
Yep.
And it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to find a flow of doing things. And I think like that plays such a role in this is people understanding too that this is not all done perfectly.
No.
Like I don't always get up every morning. Mm-hmm. I bat pretty well.
Yeah.
But there are days. We went to a Braves game Tuesday. I always go see the Braves when they play the Red Sox. Do you think I got up Wednesday morning at 6:30? Like, you're crazy. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and it's going to be that way. Mm-hmm. I don't always wake up and love praying.
Right.
I don't always wake up and want to sit in silence and solitude and like mm-hmm. chance falling asleep maybe because I'm still tired.
Yeah.
Like, these are not always things where you're batting 1,000. And these are not always things where you're always like, I'm just killing it, man.
Yeah.
There's days you fight it and you fight having to, and you have to switch up. You have to read first because, you know, if you start praying, you're just going to be out.
Sure.
And then there's days you know you need to pray first, or there's days where I want to go sit in my chair. I have a chair in my office. I normally do my stuff, and I can't. My brain's 1,000 places, so I'll walk my subdivision and kind of change up the routine in the morning. Like,
yeah,
it's not always like it's not always this is working 100% of the time for me.
Right.
You know, that's the place I'm trying to get to.
And you got to realize too that, like, in this discipline, in these disciplines that we're trying to cultivate in our lives, we have long-term goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to keep in mind what you're trying to cultivate long-term, not just what are you trying to accomplish immediately. Because if everything's about the immediate, you'll be crushed by one failure.
Yeah.
You sleep in on a Wednesday.
Right.
And because if you've got really short-term mindset, then you failed.
Right.
But if you look at how does this one day play into my long-term.
Yes.
Every other day I was up.
Yes.
That's a win.
Right.
You know?
I personally think about this all the time. I would love to be able to do an hour of contemplative prayer when I'm 60.
Sure.
30 years. I got 30 years to work at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because right now I can do about 10 to 15 minutes. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Before I'm gone.
Sure.
I'm writing a new Batman movie script in my head.
Yep.
I'm wondering what my life would be like if I was, you know what I mean? The head of Apple. Like, my brain's in 1,000 other places, you know, like, I'm thinking about all kinds of stuff that has nothing to do.
Yep.
You know? And so like, and I think like, don't, like, there's practical things. Like, I set a timer a lot of times for contemplative prayer. So I'm not actively trying to make sure I've done my 10 or 15. You know what I mean? Like, there's just normal things you can do. This doesn't, you're not a monk.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? This isn't a monastery.
Mm-hmm.
Relax.
Right.
And pray where, like, one of the greatest things I've ever heard John Ornberg say is pray where you're at, not where you want to be.
Sure.
You need to learn how to pray, to do disciplines and everything where you're at.
Yeah.
If you can't do silence and solitude for an hour, but you can do it for 3.5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
do it for 3.5 minutes until you can do 5 minutes
mm-hmm.
and then 10. No discipline should require you to do more than where you're at, and let the Holy Spirit grow you.
Right.
Let him be the one that leads you into more and more and more.
Yeah.
And we will fail at wanting to be the master mm-hmm. of our own domain and the master of what we're trying to accomplish
mm-hmm.
Because we think we should be, because oftentimes it's not because even we want to accomplish it, but because we think we're the only ones who aren't.
Sure.
I'm the only one not praying for an hour every day. I'm the only one not up. Yeah. I'm the only one. And that's not true either.
Right. Yeah.
Like, if our church got up and prayed 10 to 15 minutes every morning, that will be more than 80% of Christians probably pray their entire lives. That's just the nature of where the church is at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we even talked about the importance of praying. And sometimes when we pray, we run out of prayers. And that's okay, because we don't realize that we need to be praying for things that are more external than what we think.
Sure.
So I even talked about praying for your church. Like, if you're not praying for Beloved, its leaders, its success, its mission, its goals, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, pray for your church, but this is also things that open up your prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
Your prayer life has become so minute and like, Lord, just forgive me of this one sin I can't get rid of.
Yeah.
Bless my family. Uh-huh. I'm sorry. I know I'm bad. All right. Amen. It's like, well, when that's all you get to pray about, what a terrible existence you live. Like,
yeah.
How awful is that?
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's other things that are your, like, if you're a part of Beloved, it's your responsibility to pray for Beloved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it.
Yeah.
And so, like, even sometimes what we call a successful prayer life dies because my idea of prayer is so small. But there's other things to pray for. There's other types of prayer, and you need to pray where you're at, not where you want to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good. And I think about too, I wonder how often people don't start something new because they know that when they do, they won't be as good as they'd like to be. And that's not just with spiritual gifts. That's with I would love to play like the saxophone or like the cello. Like there are other instruments that I've always thought I love them.
Yeah.
Love the saxophone. I love the cello, you know?
Yeah.
But I know that if I were to try, if I were to start right now,
right.
I have a vision for what I could be.
Yeah.
But
yeah. It's either Kenny G or bust.
Yeah. But I'm going to hate that I'm not that.
Right.
And so there's a part of me that's like, well, you know, it's easier to just not.
That's why I don't work out.
You know?
Yeah. It's like, well, why start now?
But I think, and it could be, you know, people have, you know, they want to write books or they want to start businesses and there's an awareness of knowing that when I start this, it's going to be rough.
Yeah.
It's not going to be good and it's going to be hard and it's going to be a long time and a lot of work and a long time before I get to the place that I imagine I could be. And I wonder how often that prevents people from even starting in the first place.
Yes, I agree. And I think too, with that is the lie that it's my responsibility to produce.
Sure.
Like so much of things are leniency on the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know I'm a good leader, but I know it's going to be the Holy Spirit that makes me a great one.
Sure.
And so when I'm aware of that, I lean into him and I go, not my problem in a sense.
Yeah.
I attach myself. And I think people are scared to start something because they have to think they have to build it themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I know there's different things. Like, I don't know how much Holy Spirit's going to help Brian with playing the saxophone, but, but like for a lot of things, like you want to start a business and you're thinking it's just going to be me. And the Lord's like, why?
Yeah.
Why are you putting me in the box of church?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? You want to start a family and become a parent and you're worried you're going to be a crappy one. And the Holy Spirit's like, why?
Yeah.
Because I only operate in the church realm. No.
Yep.
No. Like the Spirit's supposed to lead us into all truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just the scriptures.
Yeah.
Or the third heaven or the Nephilim, you know, that's your business. That's your children, that's your finances, that's your skills and talents and wants and wishes and hopes.
Yeah.
And I think like a part of that is this idea of like, it's going to be only me putting in the effort here.
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, it's Holy Spirit strength that is actually going to help push you if you'll let him.
Yeah.
He's never asked, you know, you to do anything alone.
Right.
You know, he just wants you to put forth the effort with him.
Yeah.
Hand in hand.
Yeah. I think it's easy to carry that hesitancy to begin mentality into like spiritual disciplines. Cause like you've said, like probably more people don't know how to pray than are willing to admit it.
Sure.
Probably more people are willing to, there are probably more people in the church that don't really know how to read the Bible well that are willing to admit it.
Right.
And because of that, I wonder how often people have sort of that hesitancy to start because it's just easier not to. Like, well, I don't really know.
Right.
You know,
why fail when I don't even have to try?
Right. You know?
Yeah, it's true. And I think it's difficult because we're also, the Christian world works in success or failure and not practice.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christian world is practice.
Right.
Which when we understand the term practice, we understand that if I start praying and I don't do it every day at this time and this way, I have failed. It's like, no, I'm practicing at getting better at what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we use the term practicing the prophetic, which is a scary term for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But good luck prophesying over everyone 100% of the time when you don't do it in some safe places first with prophets and other people who are well equipped in this before you just start shooting prophetic cannon guns out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, there's a practice piece of this that's not about success or failure.
Mm-hmm.
It's about relationship and the journey.
Yep.
And, you know, I even think that the immediate gratification of the current state of our society has even played a role in this idea of if I can't do it and succeed at it immediately, I'm not going to do it. Or if I can't do it and get immediate gratification, I'm done.
Right.
Yeah. And I, you know, the bad news about your prayer life is 95% of your prayer life will not be third heaven encounters.
Yeah.
98%.
Right. And it won't even be super like emotionally charged either.
Nope. It won't be, there'll be no, hey, I'm sending you to Walmart today to pray for this person with cancer. There'll be no, you know what I mean? There'll be none of that. There will be hot coffee and, well, that's done.
Yeah.
You know, like there's not always this supercharged perichoresis circle dance moment.
Right.
It's actually a lot of just hard practice and days of just leaning into the Spirit and resting in that you did what you were called to do.
Right. And trusting that even though I didn't feel anything happened, that my prayers as a righteous person are effective.
Right. Yeah. Right. And these things, the company of prayer, all these different aspects of the things we're going to be talking about, will require you to maintain a vision for yourself and for everyone around you and the family that you're in, kingdom family.
Yeah.
You have to have a vision. Mm-hmm. You have to understand the vision for you, your family, your kingdom family, your church, your city, all of that. You have to carry the vision consistently in your heart, in your mind.
Yep.
When doing all these things, or you'll just give it up.
Yeah. Great.
Awesome.
Cool. I feel good.
Yeah.
Good?
Great. Okay. Sounds good.
If you are watching, if you would do us a favor, go ahead and like this video and subscribe to our channel. If you've not watched on video or on YouTube and you're on like Spotify or Apple Podcasts or anything like that, if you would, go ahead and check out our YouTube page and give us a like, give us a subscribe. That really helps big time.
It does. Ryan's a good looking fella. Go watch him on video.
Yeah. If you've not seen the set, come check us out. See what we look like doing this.
I wonder what these two look like.
And for our community leaders, why don't you continue a conversation in prayer with your group? And you can bring in the vision or the conversation on vision too, and just start to let's just start to dialogue together as a family what vision we have for our lives and who we're wanting to become and the role that prayer can play in that.
Right. Great.
Do you have any other thoughts?
No, I think that's fantastic. Have a vision for yourself, have a vision for your family, have a vision for your church, and be in the vision of your church.
Great.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time.